I claw at his muscled back and then feel his body tighten. He opens his eyes and looks at me for a moment, like a hesitation, but then he can't stop himself. He's watching me come. He's watching me crumble into a million pieces beneath him. He pumps again, harder, more savage this time, and comes with me. I feel his cock twitch inside as he jets his cum. The sensation drags another orgasm right out of me. The thought of him ejaculating is nothing shy of erotic. Mindless, carnal, and erotic. I move my hips into him, unable to stop the addictive bliss from feeling our two bodies joined. He thrusts one final time, and then lets out a deep, guttural sound. I widen my legs and take him deep, flexing around him, milking him. I love him inside me, and how he fills me. Without pulling out and still panting, he dips his head and places a slow kiss on my mouth. "Please tell me you liked that," he whispers. I don't have a clue how to process what just happened. It's a lot. It's a lot. Hunter just fucked me. My first time. It was great. He'd done everything right and made me feel sexy and beautiful and wanted. I don't think I can ever want anyone else like I want him. And it's terrifying.
Tass?
I realize he's still inside me, with his elbows propping him up. Yeah?
Was it okay?
He asks again. Completely.
Good.
He kisses me lazily.
Because I think I'd like to do that again.
He can't be ready already, I think. So soon?
It's a first for me, but maybe my body wants to make up for lost time.
I smile at him and brush my fingers over his brow. I still have so much to say and process about us, but right now I simply want to be with him. He and I are finally on the same team, and I suddenly wonder if we weren't all along. Chapter 17. The rest of the evening is a complete blur. Hunter and I have sex once more in the bed, slow and soft. Then we take a shower together. I've obviously never bathed with a guy before, but I quickly come to realize how sensual it is. I love sliding my soapy hands over the hard curves of his ass and arms. I love feeling his naked chest against my bare breasts. I will never shower alone again as long as he's around. After the shower, we talk a little. Mostly he's just apologizing for hurting me. I do the same. Then I feel like this enormous weight has been lifted from my body and soul. Then, slowly, his eyes start to close.
"You feel good in my arms, Tass,"
he mumbles, right before dozing off. I smile and snuggle into his smooth, warm chest. Ditto. He's left me raw, thoroughly worked over, and 100% feeling like I'd been saving myself for this. With anyone else, it would have been sex. But with him, it was intense. He made me feel like no one else mattered. We fall asleep, but it doesn't take long for my body to call. I need to pee. I need water. I need food. In that order. With Hunter sound asleep, his Adonis-like frame under the covers, I take care of business and then head to the kitchen in my pajamas in search of hydration and nourishment. Every ounce of my being glows. He's brought me into a mental state where I clearly see what I want and who I'm meant to be. Not a girl looking for approval, but a young woman taking her place in life. I am almost to the kitchen when I hear my name spoken, then Hunter's.
"Dude, seriously? I wouldn't bang that for a Super Bowl ring," says a deep voice.
"Mike, you're a dick," says a girl I don't recognize. "Yeah," says another. "You're being a pig."
"Hey, I'm not the one fucking a geek for points," the voice says.
For a moment, I'm thinking they're talking about Elle and Henry, but then, "Well, maybe Hunter really likes her," says one of the girls.
"Or maybe he's just a competitive asshole who bangs virgins because he can't stand to lose," says one guy. "Dude, that's what makes him an awesome quarterback. He'll do anything to win. He even told everyone that he'd have proof after tonight.
That's nasty, says one of the girls.
How else are we gonna know he did it with a real virgin?
Says the guy. What the fuck? I stop in my tracks and cover my mouth, holding back a horrible sound that might be a scream or might just be a sob. Either way, I keep it at bay. My pride won't let me weep or feel like this. I throw up a mental wall of pure anger. One half goes to me for allowing myself to be suckered like this. The other half goes to Hunter for taking things so far. I gave myself to him. I opened my heart to him. And it was nothing but another bet? I can't believe it. Really, I can't. But then I endure 5 more minutes of listening to the conversation. The things these guys have done to score points is deplorable. Breaking windows on cars, stealing exams from professors, banging gammas, as many as possible. And then there's me, the top of the list, bagging the unicorn, which is code for fucking the virginal tricap with absolute proof. Technically, I'm not a tricap anymore, but they talk about how he still gets the points because I dropped out of the sorority because of him. I'm sickened by what I hear, but I'm more sickened by my gullibility. Because what this all means is that Hunter lied to me. It was never enough for him to simply tell people we slept together, as he led me to believe, and I agreed to. He really, actually, genuinely needed to do the deed. That's what this was all about. Him asking us to team up and help each other. He only wanted to use the time to convince me to really sleep with him. Now everything makes sense. The looks, the flirting, the playing nice. He did it all to fool me into believing he actually cared. All for this. To win a contest. I want to hurt Hunter for his cruelty. And yet, I only have myself to blame. I am the goddamned ignorant child who trusted him. I turn around and look for the master suite. I think it's down the other hallway. I press my ear to the door and hear deep snoring. It has to be Henry. I open the door and whisper Elle's name. After a few moments, I hear her. Tass, everything okay? No. Can you take me home? I mean, back to campus. There's a rustle of blankets, and then she's there, stepping out into the hallway. What happened? She whispers. I can't talk about it. I look down at my feet. She grabs my arm. Did he hurt you? What? No, I mean, yes, but not like that. Then how? She scowls. It was all a joke, Elle. He only wanted me here for that scavenger hunt. No. I just heard everyone talking about it. My hands tremble with rage just from saying it. But wasn't that part of your deal with him? Telling everyone you slept together? I shake my head. He only said that to get me to trust him. He had to really sleep with me and provide proof to get the points. She covers her mouth. Oh, God. Are you sure? I nod. I'm so sorry. Okay, get your stuff. I'll be out to the car in 3 minutes. I hear her grumble something about never forgiving Henry. Obviously, he knew. Perhaps inviting Elle here was only to make me feel more comfortable. I don't know, but I can't put anything past them. I'm thoroughly disgusted. I'm hurt. I'm never going to forget this moment. Elle and I quietly slip out of the house, and an hour later we're at the dorms. She says she'll sleep here and leave early for her parents' house. By 3 a.m., her phone is ringing off the hook. It's Henry asking why she left. Because you're a disgusting pig, that's why. By 5 a.m., my phone is ringing too. It's Hunter. I don't answer. I just block. I don't want to hear any more lies. I don't want to hear any more bullshit. He's one. I'm just some stupid geek who thought she was smarter than the rest and took a leap of faith for once in her life. A mistake I'll never make again. The rest of Sunday morning, I don't leave my bed. My body is sore and a reminder of last night with Hunter, a memory I don't want to have. By noon, my mind starts wreaking havoc on me with all sorts of questions. What am I going to do when I see him again? Because I don't want to. Not ever. And while I may be able to avoid him on campus, our parents live next door. There are holidays and summer breaks when we both go home. And, finally, there's my stupidity of bailing out on the tri-caps. Or maybe that wasn't so stupid. Either way, they were right to judge Hunter. Lainey knew all along the sort of low, horrible cruelty these guys are capable of. Around 1 o'clock, Al has already gone to her parents, and I decide I've got to get out of my room for a few hours. I've got to clear my head because I can't permit Hunter or this situation to take more from me than it already has. Last night proved how vulnerable I am, that not facing my feelings has left me weak in some ways. I go for a drive in my silver Prius, a used one my parents bought me last year. I've already concluded that part of the problem is how I've neglected such a big part of myself, the part of me that wants to be intimate. Science tells us how this is a biological need, and I've been starving myself to a point of stupid desperation. Yes, that's the solution. I'm going to start dating. Nice, normal, smart guys. I pull up to my spot in the student garage and let out a big sigh. I feel so heavy inside. I feel so ashamed of myself for letting Hunter fool me. I slide out my phone and call Rachel, my best friend from back home, who's now studying at Harvard. I need to hear her voice. She answers, and I start to sob.
Tass? Oh my God, what's the matter?
Nothing, I sniffle. I just really miss you.
Oh, sweetie, what happened? Just tell me, she says.
I can't.
Why not? You know I love you. Do I need to come there? I'll come there. I'm sure there's a flight or something.
I slept with Hunter, I blurt out.
Oh,
she sounds shocked. He lied to me and got me to trust him, and it was all just some game for his fraternity.
My voice sounds all shaky.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah.
I don't want to get into the whole story about him and me agreeing to help each other out by telling a few white lies and pretending to be together. It doesn't really matter in the end.
He played me. Oh, no. I'm so sorry, Tassie.
But you two, you just couldn't ever let it go. I never understood it. The rivalry, the relentless picking on each other.
He picked on me!
You egged him on. But still, this is low, Tassie. Really low. Even for Hunter. I had no idea you two were even talking.
Yeah, well, it's a long story.
Whatever it is, it's time you let this thing with him go, Tassie. Just walk away. Move on. For your own sanity. I know she's right. I can't undo last night. I can't. And I don't have it in me to hate anymore. It's too exhausting.
That's what I'm planning to do.
Good. And when you see him again, you just lift your chin. Show him that he can't break you. He's just a dumb jock who won't amount to anything. There was never any love between Rach and Hunter, or his posse back in high school. She'd been the recipient of far too many sandwich bombs during lunch.
Thanks, Rach.
I don't feel better, but I do feel clear-headed. I can look at flights for next weekend if you want. My mom has miles saved up for me.
No, I'm okay. I just needed to hear your voice, that's all.
I'm here any time. Just call. And please do call. I'm so sick of studying. I think I'm going to go crazy.
I will.
I nod, even though she can't see me. See you at Thanksgiving, then?
Yes, we'll do our girls' day, I mumble.
Yeah, I love those. She goes quiet for a moment.
Tass?
Yes?
How was it?
She asks.
What? Sleeping with him.
I shrug and stare out the window of my car. It's a beautiful, sunny day, but everything feels gloomy, like I have rain clouds inside me.
It was painful, is all I can say, but I mean it in the emotional sense.
Why?
I met someone. I'm thinking it's time.
Oh. I'm happy for her. She's never met anyone she seriously liked. Is he in a fraternity?
No.
Then I have no advice to offer other than have a nice time and bring condoms. Lots of condoms.
Noted.
She draws a long breath.
So, was there anything good about it all?
Now that I know why she's asking, I don't want to discourage her from being with someone she has special feelings for, so I set aside my own personal train wreck of emotions. Still, I refuse to say how incredible the sex had been with Hunter, or how we moved together so perfectly.
I don't know. I sigh.
I guess there were a few moments where it wasn't completely horrible. He took his time making me feel comfortable. My heart cramps at the thought of how he'd made everything perfect for me. Even after, when we were lying there, the conversation we had felt so intimate. He talked about this feeling he had after he almost killed that guy. Life had given him a second chance not to be that person who walked around angry all the time. He said that while it didn't help him figure out who he was, it helped him figure out who he wasn't. I remembered how any time he looked at me after that summer, I could see it in his eyes. Something going on in there. I told him I was sorry he went through all that for me, and that I never said thank you.
Why do you think you didn't remember?
He'd asked. I can only guess that my severe aversion to violence made me block it out. I doubt I'll ever really know for sure why I forgot.
I'm not sure, I'd said. But I remember now, so thank you.
He'd held me for a while after that, and for a brief few moments, I felt like he loved me. I could see us being happy and good for each other. Yeah, I think that was my favorite part. Feeling completely content and loved for a few short moments before the balloon popped. I clear my throat, realizing Rach is still there on the other end of the phone.
Just don't mistake sex for love, Rach. Even if it feels like it, it's not.
Chapter 18. When I got back to my room, there's a note on the floor inside the room. Hunter. He must have slid it under the door. I stare at the thing, thinking long and hard about what Rach said. This thing, whatever it is between Hunter and I, it's gone on long enough. It's caused me too much pain, and I know whatever the note says, it will only pull me in again. Perhaps it says he's sorry. Perhaps it's a note gloating over his victory. I don't know. But either way, the note contains words I don't want to hear or read. He thinks it's okay to belong to a group that condones this sort of behavior. Well, it's not. He thinks my body is a game piece he can just move around in order to win. Well, it's not. I stare at the folded paper in my hand for a long time, and I'm about to tear it into tiny pieces, but stop.
Fucker.
I open the thing and read the first two lines.
Tess, I know why you are upset and angry. Henry spoke to Elle. I'm not going to lie to you and deny the truth. Last night, sleeping with you. It was all part of the bet, but I...
Asshole!
I tear up the paper and throw the pieces out the window. Whatever else he has to say in this letter is irrelevant. There is no but. There is no excuse or amount of sorries. If he's even sorry. There are no words that could possibly make this better. As I watch the pieces flutter down the side of the building, spreading with the wind, it almost feels cleansing, like I'm letting him go. It's the only way for me to keep breathing. For the rest of the week, I steer clear of my room and go to the cafeteria at times I know Hunter will be in class or at practice. When I'm not in class, I stick to places I'm unlikely to run into him. The lab, my study group, or at the library on the top floor near the back, where it's quiet and I can't be seen. When I'm in my room, I don't answer the door. Someone has come by a few times late at night, knocking. It's either Henry or Hunter. Neither are welcome. Elle mentions several times that Henry has texted and wants to see her, but she ignores him and then finally blocks his number. I don't know if she's doing it for herself or in support of me, but either way, I'm grateful not to see any alphas in my room. They only see me as the nerdy girl Hunter fucked for points. It didn't seem to matter when it was a lie, and I wasn't emotionally vested in him. But then it all got real. It all mattered. On Friday, while I'm in line at the cafeteria, I hear a few guys talking about the big game with Indiana on Saturday. I couldn't be more relieved. The football team will be on the road, and that means Hunter won't be around this weekend at all. I know I can't avoid seeing him forever, but I need time to heal and gather my strength. Then, when the time comes, I'll be able to smile and let him know that he may have won, but he hasn't broken me. The following week, I'm finally feeling a little less fragile. I think I'm almost ready to start taking big steps in my life to address some issues, mainly my reluctance to date anyone. I know part of the problem is that I never felt sexy or dateable. I just felt awkward, like a nerdy little girl in a grown-up body. But I'm going to change all that. There are plenty of nice, smart guys in my classes. One in particular, Jared, is in my chemistry study group. He smiles a lot and has nice eyes. I think I'll ask him out. I've got to start somewhere. 2 weeks go by, and it's starting to feel like a bad dream that never happened. All of it. But then, as I'm walking across the common, heading to class, I see him. It's the middle of the afternoon, and those blue, blue eyes are unmistakable. He stops walking, and so do I. We just stand there 20 yards apart, facing each other as people pass us. My heart explodes with adrenaline, and I'm fueled with the urge to punch him right in the nuts. No, Tassie, don't do it. Don't get sucked in again. I draw a breath and hunker down. I know I have to let go and move on. I square my shoulders, lift my chin, and walk toward him. He decides to approach me, too.
Hey,
he says calmly, but with an edge to his voice. Maybe he expects me to yell at him. I won't.
How have you been?
I shrug and put on a friendly smile. Good. Just busy with school. He stares for a moment.
Why haven't you returned any of my calls?
I'm not sure what he expected from me. Like I said, I've been really busy. But it's nice seeing you. I step around him to head on my merry way.
Hey.
He grabs my hand.
We need to talk.
I frown and pull it away. What would be the point? You got what you wanted. I allow my eyes to wash over him like he's my favorite piece of meat. And I sure as hell got what I wanted. I wink. Let's call it even. The confusion is visible on his face, brows knitted together, pulsing jaw muscles. Oh, Hunter, what did you think was going to happen? That we'd date or something? I laugh. That's funny. I watch his confusion turn to anger, and now that I taste blood, I want to finish him off. I'm winning. I'm making him feel small, like shit, and it feels good. I'm about to tell him that a smart girl like me would never date a dumb jock like him, but as I open my mouth, I quickly pull myself back. I don't want to fall back into old, painful patterns. I really just want to move on. Hunter, we're adults now. You have your life. I have mine. It's time to put the past behind us. I reach out to touch his arm. Good luck with everything. I mean that. I step around him and continue on my way. My chin is high, but for once it's not because I made him feel worthless, but because I didn't. I've finally grown up a little. I'm finally learning. Chapter 19. 2 months later. You sure you don't want to spend a few days in my house? I ask Elle as we finish loading up our suitcases with what's essentially dirty laundry to take home for Thanksgiving week. We both live about 2 hours away, but she's in the opposite direction. Things with her mother remain unchanged, and I don't know if that's good or bad. I try not to push her, and instead focus on being there as a distraction. Over the past few weeks, we've gone to a few gatherings, low-key, non-Greek parties with classmates, the movies, and we started jogging a few times a week. I kind of like it. I've even gone on a few dinner dates with that guy, Jared. We talked and had a nice time. That was about it.
I'm sure, she says. We have a lot of family coming from out of state, so it won't be as difficult as usual.
My heart just cries out for her. Okay, well, if you feel like you need a break and want to spend a couple of days with me, you're welcome. Our family is local, so we'll have plenty of room in the house. No other visitors aside from my brother.
Are you going to see your neighbor?
My stomach twists into a tight ball. I know I'll likely bump into Hunter, and I'm not looking forward to it. I throw a pair of dirty socks into my suitcase. I'll ignore him, just like old times. Her expression turns heavy all of a sudden. Brows furrowed, lips flat.
You know, Tass, I didn't want to tell you this and upset you. I mean, you've worked hard to get over everything, and I didn't want to start flicking off scabs.
What? I stop packing.
I talked to Henry a few weeks ago. Well, maybe it was a month or so ago, and it wasn't so much talking but begging on his part.
Ouch. And?
He, Hunter, and a couple other guys got an apartment off campus. I think Henry's paying for most of it, but they're all living together.
That wasn't what I expected her to say. Nice for them. They can smell each other's farts while they jerk off to pictures of themselves. Elle's face crinkles up. Sorry. That was a bit crude.
Well, Henry says they left the Alpha fraternity. He said the other guys on the team gave them shit about it, but the whole thing that happened with you really fucked with Hunter's head, so he quit. And then Henry decided he didn't want to be part of it either. Since then, half the guys on the team bailed the fraternity.
I'm stunned. Completely stunned.
I guess that's good, but... That it doesn't undo their stupidity, she says.
Exactly.
It's a start, she points out.
Maybe. At the very least, the Alphas might decide that losing half their members and the star quarterback is a sign that they need to grow the hell up.
So does this mean you've forgiven Henry? I ask. We went out a few times. You know, just to talk and hang out. But then I ended it for good. I've got a lot on my plate.
I'm not surprised she didn't tell me that she'd been seeing him again. I probably would have felt betrayed. Now, I'm not so sure I'd care, because he made her laugh, and she needs as much happiness as she can get.
It's too bad, I say. I mean, you seemed happy with him.
She shrugs.
It was just a fling. Flings are supposed to be fun, and then they're over.
I really wouldn't know.
I guess. Anyway, Henry asked me to talk to you. He wanted me to try to convince you to give Hunter a chance.
A chance for what?
Henry says you don't know everything. Then you should at least listen to what Hunter has to say.
I've worked really hard to move past all this.
I don't think that's a good idea. That's what I said. Let sleeping dogs lie.
You were right. My dog's asleep, and I plan to leave it snoring in the corner. Besides, he admitted doing it. What's there to know?
She shrugs again. You'll have to ask Hunter that.
Coming home after so many months is far less of a big deal than I'd made it out to be. I sort of expected my room to have been turned into a yoga cave or book room for my parents. Those two own a lot of freaking books. But everything's almost the same as when I left, with the exception of my parents being a bit more excited to see me compared to if I were just coming home from school on a normal day.
Tassie! My mom throws out her arms the moment I enter the house, which is your typical two-story stucco ranch built in the 90s.
My mother gives me a big squeeze. She looks like an older version of me, but with short brown hair and brown eyes. My eyes are blue like my dad's. Both my parents wear thick glasses and stay slim because they forget to eat. They live to work, not work to live.
Hi, Mom.
She lets me go, and I inhale the sweet scent of cinnamon and bread and something roasting in the oven. My mouth waters.
What are you cooking?
The house already smells like Thanksgiving dinner, but that's still 5 days away.
Oh, it's a new cleansing diet your father and I are doing. Stewed curried prunes with lentils.
Ew.
The chili pepper and cardamom help boost the body's circulation and immune system, while the insoluble prune fiber nourishes the probiotic community living in your lower intestinal tract.
Yep. Home sweet home.
Is Kyle here yet? Kyle is my older brother, the tech startup millionaire. He is also a workaholic. He just called and said he's hung up on some new software launch. He'll try to be here late tonight. She swipes her hand through the air. But if I know him, he won't really be here until Wednesday. My mother smiles, and I know this makes her happy. In her mind, being a workaholic is called being dedicated. She's very dedicated.
Is that my little sassy Tallahassee?
My father's deep voice rings out from the living room, which doubles as a third study. The first and second studies are the spare bedrooms my parents turned into home offices. But since they ran out of shelf space, the living room now looks like the public library with wall-to-ceiling bookshelves that block out any natural light. It's like a paper coffin. Don't get me wrong, I love books, but deciding that a window is taking up valuable book space so you block it out with shelving is a little extreme. Personally, I like sunlight. Hi, Dad. I give him a big hug and notice he feels thinner. Have you lost more weight? I pull back and notice how his khakis are sort of hanging off his frame, as is his button-down checkered shirt.
New project,
he says, sounding all excited. You know your father, says my mom. Just can't get him away from that computer. Except when it comes to erecting new shelving. I notice they covered another wall, blocking the doorway between the living room and the kitchen. Now you have to go out into the hallway and around. Oh, by the way, my mom says. Hunter was just here asking about you. Something about some assignment from school. I didn't know you had any classes together. That's kind of strange. And a little intrusive. He knows I don't want to see him. We don't. I just help him out once in a while with math. I lie. My mother shakes her head. I don't know why you waste your time, Tassie honey. What's that supposed to mean? I ask. Well, he's never been very nice to you. I see no reason you should go out of your way to help him when there are plenty of other people in this world who might benefit from your gene pool. I love how my mother always refers to our gene pool as if we're royalty or saints who perform miracles. In a way, that's the sort of parental brainwashing that messed me up. Well, Mom, someone has to take pity on the less fortunate, I say sarcastically. Tassie, I'm just pointing out the obvious. She gives me that look, the one that shuts me up unless I'm in the mood to fight, which I'm not. Well, I'll go get my stuff from the car and see what he wants. I turn for the door.
Okay, says my father. But hurry back. I want to tell you all about this new algorithm we've developed. It has made our climate prediction model 0.005 times more accurate.
Oh, no. He's going to talk coding. I can't stand coding. It's so binary. Sounds great, Dad. Oh, then I'll tell you about a new study we've just gotten approved by the FDA, my mother adds. It's cutting edge. The monkey nut trial? I ask.
Testicles, Tassie. Monkey testicle. But yes.
Now we're talking. I can talk monkey nuts and DNA sequencing all day long.
Can't wait.
I head outside to my Prius and pop the trunk. I see Hunter's red Mustang in the driveway. His parents gave him that car on his 16th birthday, and Hunter treats it like his child, always washing and waxing it. Okay, people don't wax children, not that I'm aware of, anyway, but you get the gist. I stare at the neighbor's front door, thinking about going over and knocking, but I really can't stand seeing his parents. His dad is gruff and loud, and his mom never speaks up, not even to defend her own son. They piss me off. They piss off my parents, too, but I think it's mostly because they try to talk about the Hunter situation, as it was referred to at my house in the early years, but couldn't get anywhere. I would come home crying from elementary school because Hunter did something. My mother would go and try to talk to his father, who would just say something arbitrary, like, "Kids will be kids." As time went on,
I stopped crying because I didn't like seeing my parents so upset. However, I think they still knew there were problems, because to this day, they cannot stand Hunter's parents. His folks aren't very nice to us, either. I decide it's better to unblock his number from my phone and text him, rather than go over there. I'll tell Hunter I'm busy tonight with something, but maybe we can talk later, like next year or something. I lug my giant hot pink suitcase inside. It's girly and ideal for spotting in any airport baggage claim when I travel, and head straight for the laundry room off the kitchen. I flip on the lights and am surprised there are no books in here. I set up the first load and then dig my phone from my jeans pocket. As my finger reaches for unblock next to Hunter's name, I hesitate. Not about unblocking him, but about what I want to say. Frankly, I just want him to leave me alone, and that includes not having to think about what he wants all week long. I hit unblock and then call. It rings a few times, and I hear that voice. So deep, so familiar, so sexy. It sends prickly goosebumps down my arms and neck, which completely irritates me. One would think after all this drama, my body would know better.
Tassie?
Hey, I just got here to my parents. What did you need?
Can I see you?
I'm really busy, Hunter. What do you want?
I want to talk.
I think about it for a moment. It feels too painful to move backwards. Forward, away from him, feels right. I don't think that's a good idea. And frankly, I didn't come home to see you. I'm here to be with my family.
Tass, I'm only asking for a few minutes of your time.
Understood. However, I don't owe you anything.
Also understood,
he replies curtly. Then why are you acting like I do? Owe you, I mean.
I'm not acting. I'm asking. Big difference.
I want to put this behind me, so if he'll drop it, I can spare a few minutes. I'm having dinner with my parents, and then I have plans.
Fine, then. Let's meet for breakfast,
Hunter says. I'm jogging in the morning.
You?
He sounds like he's about to laugh, but doesn't.
Yes. Me. Sorry, it's just you were never really into fitness.
Your point? He better not be insinuating that I'm fat merely because my body boasts womanly curves. I'm not an athlete. I never will be. There is fluff in my trunk, and I feel no shame.
Just stating a fact. So why don't I join you?
He says. I think about it for a moment. Okay, meet me out front at 7.
P.M. or A.M.?
A.M., I snap.
I thought you said you had plans tonight. Won't that be a little early for you to get up?
Ugh, he's like the anti-mom, schooling me on the proper art of partying. I know how to go to a party, have fun, and get to bed at a reasonable hour, Hunter. Do you?
What party?
None of your business.
I'm just being polite, Tass. Not like I'm going to crash it.
Whatever. I'm meeting Rach at her sister's. Her older sister lives in downtown Houston and works at some talent agency. Rach has guaranteed bountiful man candy for our viewing pleasure, as well as free frou-frou drinks and lots of girl talk. I'm not planning to drink since I'll be driving home late.
Really now?
He sounds devilish. What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing,
he says all too innocently. Didn't sound like nothing.
I just happened to be going to Justine's party, too.
Justine is Rach's sister. What? You said you weren't going to crash.
I'm not. I know Justine from high school. She's trying to convince me to sign with her agency.
I completely forgot that he dated Justine. It was years ago. She was a senior and he was a sophomore. That's how good-looking the son of a bitch is. He had seniors chasing after him. Well, great. Now you just completely ruined my night. And tonight just happens to be my... Wait. No. I don't celebrate today. It's against my rules.
I'm only going to meet the owner of the agency,
he says.
They're getting into sports, and they've offered to represent me for half the commission of the other agencies.
I'm silent on the matter. He knows I don't want to see him there.
If it makes you feel any better, I'll only stay for a few minutes and then I'll leave. Though we could drive together if I stayed.
Nuh-uh. No, we're not driving together. I don't know you, you don't know me. We'll be two invisible boats passing in the night, and our engines will be electric, so there's no noise.
God, you're a strange woman.
And this just occurred to you. I practically wear the strange flag on my forehead.
I generally tend to notice your lips more than anything, and your wide blue eyes. Your smile is nice to look at, too.
His voice is low and serious, and instantly sparks an unwelcome reaction inside my stomach. See you in the morning. I end the call. Damn this guy. How dare he start talking flirty sexy to me? Now I'm feeling all flustered. He sucked me in again. The man is an emotional black hole with gravitational forces beyond my control. I slam my fist down on the washer. My mother suddenly appears.
Cassie? Everything okay?
I nod with a clipped smile. Yeah, everything's fine. Just as soon as I blast this football monster from my life. Chapter 20. Tonight, I'm stepping out of my comfort zone and wearing my shortest outfit, a black dress I purchased weeks ago for my charade with Hunt, but I feel it fits the night. Short, sexy, fashionable for a woman like me who knows only two things about style. Show some cleavage, aka my womanly speed bumps, and show those quasi-toned shaved legs. I've worn my hair all crazy, full-on blowout. That will give the impression I've arrived on a motorcycle sans helmet. My lips are cherry red. My blue eyes are smoky. My black heels are tap-tap high, meaning I can't manage a step wider than a chihuahua. Tap-tap-tap. Yes, I'm a vision of nerdy hotness. Why? Hunter. That conversation with him has lit a fire of pure frustration in my lady furnace, and I'm determined to bury him under a rubble of smoking hot lovers. What better place to start than a party filled with hot male models dressed in blue jeans and cowboy hats? I enter the penthouse suite through the private elevator, and my first reaction is to cry. Like, blubber. Hard. I'm outgunned, outboobed, and outlegged. Blondes, brunettes, size zero goddesses encrust nearly every single inch of space in the stylish loft. Fuck me, I whisper. No one said that the women here would be 12s, on a scale of 1 to 10. That makes me a 4 at best, and a 4 might as well be invisible. No revenge lovers for me tonight.
Tass!
I look to my right and see Rach surrounded by a group of very beautiful people. She's wearing her red hair in a big bun and has on a silver sequin dress cut just above the pubic bone. Seriously, her hem is so high I can almost see her G-spot.
Hey, Tass!
She gallops through the crowd and hugs me.
I can't believe how much I've missed you.
I hug her tightly and whisper in her ear. But what the hell is up with these women? She growls.
I know, right?
You said there'd be hot guys here. Her face explodes with guilty colors.
Oh, don't you worry, baby. They are on the way.
I wrinkle my nose.
Really?
Really? She nods exaggeratedly. In fact, there's this one model you have to meet. I'm talking hot, cover model, playgirl material. I nod. I have no idea what that actually means. I've never picked up a playgirl in my life. She pinches my cheek.
Consider it my birthday present.
I glare at her. You know that talking about my today is a sensitive subject? It is the reason that I have not thought about it once and instructed my parents, many years ago, to never celebrate it. Because I don't. My theory is that age is just a number, and if you convince yourself you're getting older, then you will. It's a theory that will take a lifetime to prove out, but let's see if I still look 20 when I'm 50. Then there is the whole idea of slowly decaying over time, which terrifies me. Anyway, everyone in my life is prohibited from mentioning today. Even me.
Tassie, I don't think anybody cares how old you are. I mean, come on.
She grabs a drink from a passing waiter with a tray and hands it to me. It's got some pink stuff in it. Well, I don't think. I know nobody cares. I sniff the drink, It smells like cotton candy and some very strong alcohol, so I hold it out for her to take. She pushes it back to me. Then? Then nothing, I reply.
Then happy birthday!
No, I growl. You know I don't celebrate my today. Not since I was 4.
This year,
yes, you do.
No,
I growl.
Yes.
She points toward the elevators. And there's your man candy now.
What?
I decided you needed a little party fun to kick off the night.
Happy birthday, Tassie.
The elevator doors burst open, and my lungs collapsed. Oh, dear Lord. I shield my eyes. I can't believe she's tricked me.
No,
I groan.
Yes,
she hisses. 3 incredibly built men in tight jeans burst from the elevator. Music, with deep bass, explodes from the speakers in the room. The men are topless, ripped, and positively sexual.
Wow,
is all I can manage to say.
Over here,
Rach yells and points to me. The 3 guys, 1 blonde and 2 with brown hair, zero in on me and make their way over, forming a line right in the middle of the living room, directly in front of me. The stylishly dressed crowd, most sipping martinis and in their 20s, circles around us as the show begins. Manly hips thrust, abs flex, and bulgy arms bulge. My body explodes with hot blushes. I've never been the center of attention in a way like this, and I can't help laughing. It's half nerves and half hysteria. How could she do this to me? In front of a room full of strangers, no less. I suppose it's no worse than going to one of those bars, but I wouldn't be caught dead in one of those either. The song ends, some dance thing I don't even recognize, and just when I think it's over, another song starts. I Want Your Sex by George Michael. Rachel fans her face, and the women howl. I am giggling awkwardly, dying of embarrassment, until the elevator doors open again. Hunter. His eyes are on me like anger on a dictator, like hunger on a tiger, like rage on a group of political protesters. For a moment, I feel embarrassed. But I'm not his. I never have been, never will be. I can air hump whomever I choose. So I do. The guy with brown hair in the middle struts up to me and bends at the knees, pumping his hips. I join in, meeting him thrust for thrust, eliciting ear-piercing shouts from everyone. He stands up and grabs my arms and bends to my cheek. His tongue licks down the side of my neck, across my collarbone, to my breastbone. It kind of feels good to be bad. It feels good to do something that doesn't involve grades or Hunter. Only, I feel the guy pull away, and a rumble erupts from the crowd. What the? Hunter, who's dressed in a snug black button-down shirt and blue jeans, makes the timeout sign with his hands.
Shut that fucking music off.
No. No, you don't.
Don't you dare shut it off! I was enjoying—
The music dies, but the rumble of voices doesn't.
What are you doing?
I seethe.
We need to talk.
No, you need to talk, which I agreed to let you do tomorrow morning so that we can finally put the past where it belongs.
Well, what if I don't want to put us in the past?
His chest expands with panted, angry breaths.
That's not your choice, Hunter.
Maybe not, but I'm not about to let you make up your mind until you've at least heard me out.
I heard plenty already, Mr. Bett. And in case you haven't noticed,
I glance at the half-naked guy to my side.
I've already made up my mind. I've moved on.
With a stripper?
Hunter snarls.
No.
I look at the guy. Though I'm sure you're a very nice person, so no offense. The stripper guy shrugs, and I turn back to Hunter.
I'm moving on from you because you're an overgrown man-child looking for someone to sit on the sidelines and wave pom-poms while you go on to the NFL. I'm a grown woman with a future ahead of her, and you will never be part of that equation. So there is no discussion. There is no us. So why don't you go back to your silly frat games?
You know what? You are demagogue.
I'm a demagogue?
His gorgeous face turns an angry red.
That's right. I know big words too, Tass. And you are a fomenter, a radical incendiary, an emotional terrorist.
God, where does he get off using such expressive terms with me? Articulation makes me hot.
Whoa. Hold on. Maybe big words make me hot, but Hunter doesn't.
I nod and put my hands on my waist.
At least I didn't fornicate with you for points.
Didn't you?
He snarls back.
No.
He's lost it.
You made it clear you only used me for sex.
I can't believe we're having this conversation, like I'm some manizing whore.
I am not the one who took that bloody t-shirt to show to your friends.
The party guests, who are probably enjoying the drama, make horrible sounds. Yes, I've crossed the TMI line. So what?
I would never do that to you.
He snaps back.
Did you, or did you not tell everyone you'd fuck me and provide proof?
I turn toward the crowd.
Oh, yeah. That's right, people. Just like the good old days when they flew the bloody virginal sheet out the window.
I point to Hunter.
That's the kind of guy he is.
Hey, man,
says the stripper guy with brown hair.
I think you should go.
Hunter turns with clenched fists.
This is between Tassie and me, so go mind your own fucking business.
Hunter is much bigger than Mr. Stripper, and the last thing I want is two hotheads going at it. Besides, Hunter getting into trouble at this stage of his life could ruin everything. And idiot me cares. What's the matter with me? Still, I can't help myself. I step between the two, facing Hunter.
Oh, my God! You've learned nothing, Hunter. Nothing at all. But I have. I don't want to see you again, and if it takes going to another college and never going home again, then that's what I'll do. But you are toxic. Wake up!
I throw my drink in his face. I march from the party, taking the elevator and walking to my car, which is parked on the street. Halfway home, I realize a car is behind me. It's been behind me for miles. 10 miles later, I see it's a red Mustang. Hunter.
Oh,
now you're asking for it.
20 minutes later, my mind is made up. I'm going to kick the shit out of him. I'll jump on his shoulders and bite off his ears. I'll headbutt that perfect nose of his. I'm going to jail, baby. By the time I pull into my parents' driveway, I've realized how ridiculous that is. Violence doesn't resolve anything, and I really, really can't stand seeing it in any form. Freaks me out. I get out of my car, knowing he's getting out of his, too.
Tass, get over here. We need to talk.
I ignore him and head for my front door, fumbling for the key.
So that's it, huh? You're going to chuck me aside again, just like that? Like you did when we were 6?
I pause with the key in my hand.
That's not true, Hunter.
Isn't it?
I turn and look at him standing on the walkway.
No, it's not.
Then what do you call a girl who fucks with your head for over a decade, and then when you put everything on the line for her, she refuses to look at you? What about that?
I march down the steps, pointing in his face.
You fucked me for a bet. For fucking points, Hunter. You lied. To me.
I fucked you because I wanted to fuck you. The bet was just an excuse to grow some balls, because you're so damned impossible.
What? I am not impossible. I'm just stupid for trusting you.
Yes, you are stupid.
His face riles in mine.
Who else would doubt a guy who almost went to jail to help her, or who lied to his parents? We almost went bankrupt because of you, and you've never even showed an ounce of gratitude.
Because I didn't remember.
No, because you're a judgmental snob like your stuck-up parents, and you've never quite comprehended the fact that I've been in love with you since we were 5. So, fuck you, and fuck your fam-
Hunter. A stern, female voice barks to our side. It's his mother. My eyes do a 180 sweep. Oh, God. My parents are standing behind me. His parents are standing to our side. They heard everything, including the bit about him fucking me. I'm horrified.
I had to pay $100,000 because of her?
His father growls. He's a big man with big arms and a receding hairline.
Hey!
My dad barks.
Watch your mouth. Why? My son almost went to prison for this little stuck-up princess.
Hunter's dad lobs back. Screw you, Mr. Johnson, I roar. You're nothing but a bully who picks on your family. You have no right. Tessie, my mother spits. Don't talk to him that way, even if he is a Neanderthal.
He's not a Neanderthal,
Hunter snarls.
And he cares more about me than you've ever cared about Tessie. He gave up his retirement to keep me out of jail, and you won't even give your own daughter the time of day because she's not in some fucking lame sorority.
You,
my father interjects, pointing at Hunter.
Don't you dare talk to my wife that way, or I'll...
You'll what?
Hunter's dad steps forward, and I realize this is about to turn into a fight.
Stop! Screams Hunter's mother. I've stayed quiet long enough.
She points to Hunter's dad.
Get your head out of your ass. Hunter is our son, and he made his choices. So did we. You can't blame Tessie for any of it.
She looks at my father.
And shame on you and your wife for always judging us. We almost lost our house. We almost lost everything. But would you so much as offer us a smile or a few kind words? No, because you're too good for your own glasses. So, shame on you.
And just as I'm about to speak, unsure of what I'll say, my mother steps off the porch, looking at her feet.
I am so sorry, she practically whispers. Millie, I didn't know how you felt.
Hunter's mom's name is Millie.
Well, now you do,
Millie says. Hunter's dad opens his mouth, but Millie silences him with a threatening finger.
Not another word, Gerald, or so help me, I will leave you. I'm done with your pig-headed bullying.
Hunter's dad, Gerald, looks shocked. Not angry, but shocked. Like a child who's been given a time out.
Tessie,
says my father. I look at him, having zero idea of what he's about to say.
Millie is right.
He shakes his head.
This situation isn't logical, and it has gone on long enough. I suggest you and Hunter decide.
Decide what? I ask. My dad takes a deep breath, removes his glasses, and pinches the bridge of his nose.
We have always known that your relationship with Hunter is complicated. Any fool can see you two are obsessed with each other, and always have been. But we didn't interfere because we believed you would work it out once you got older. We were wrong. You haven't worked it out. And things seem to have gotten more complicated. I think you need to decide if you're going to love him or forget him. But no more hate. No more fighting, honey. Look at the damage it's caused all of us.
My eyes tear.
Damage?
I whisper. My dad wipes the stream of wetness from under my eyes.
There's nothing a parent won't do for their children, Tess. And that includes fighting with your neighbors because their son made you so sad.
Oh. So I guess my pretending that I was okay all these years didn't work. My parents saw right through me, which explains why our families never really got along. I look at Hunter, who seems absolutely twisted inside. Then I look back at my dad and his glassy blue eyes.
We love you, Tessie, says my dad. And we are always in your corner, no matter what you do with your life. But we can't let you two ruin your lives. You're both too smart and full of so much potential. And you're holding each other back.
He's right. I know he is. All this drama has stolen energy from Hunter and me. Energy we could have spent on other things.
You have to decide now, sweetie,
my dad says.
But our families aren't going to keep doing this. At least, I don't want to.
My dad looks at Hunter's father. He jerks his head and says,
How about a beer?
My father doesn't drink beer, only red wine for his heart health. Still, he smiles.
Love to.
I'm in too,
Mom says. They all walk away, talking quietly. Peace has been made in a war that Hunter and I started as children. I just never understood how deeply it had affected everyone. I look up at Hunter, who's staring down with that tight jaw and those sensual lips pinched. He's so beautiful. And I realize he's no longer that little boy who used to pull my hair. He's all grown up. Really, really grown up. But deep down inside,
Maybe we still felt like those little kids who just didn't know how to deal with our feelings. So the bet, huh? I mutter. He takes my hand.
It was inexcusable.